Our reading today is from John verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God.
In John chapter 20, we read of several people who come to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. We're going to think about a couple of them this morning, and then next Sunday, Chris is going to think about one of the others. Now, for each of them, they require something a bit different in order to believe that Jesus had risen, as we're going to see. Now, this morning, I'm going to follow Mary.
And I'm going to follow Peter and John, two of Jesus' closest disciples. But at the beginning of chapter 20, they are with some other disciples, so I'm not needed just yet.
So we start with Mary. Now, this isn't Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene is someone who Jesus had cast seven demons out of earlier in his ministry. We read that in one of the other Gospels. And this Mary is the Mary who is first to the tomb in John chapter 20. She gets up, it says, very early in the morning, while it's still dark, that early. And she goes to the tomb. And she's surprised to see that the stone has been rolled away. Well, she runs straight to Peter and the other disciples. She ran to Peter and John and the other disciples. Oi, Chris!
Oh, hi, Bart. Sorry, what is that?
Mary ran to Peter and John and the other disciples and gave them the bad news.
The bad news? But today is Easter Sunday. Don't you mean the good news?
No, she thought she had bad news. You see, she went to them and she told them this. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him.
On hearing the news from Mary, both Peter and John run. They run towards the garden and they look for the tomb. John runs a little bit faster. We do know that John was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. He gets there first. He looks inside. He doesn't dare go inside the tomb. He looks inside. And as he's looking inside, he just sees some strips of linen. Peter comes running up. He doesn't hang around. He just dives straight in, goes into the tomb, looks around. He sees the linen and he sees the headcloth that covered Jesus' face. They're folded up on the side and neatly put away. It's like someone tidied up the area. John then comes into the tomb. He looks around. He too sees the strips of linen, the headcloth, and the Bible says he sees and believes. What does he believe? What changed into his vision and as he walked into the tomb that suddenly he believes? The Bible doesn't say too much, but I think on seeing these pieces of linen, he starts to think back. He has a flashback, if you like, to what Bart preached on 2 weeks ago from John chapter 11, when Jesus healed Lazarus from the dead. You remember Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. The disciples and Jesus and the whole crowd walks up to the tomb. Jesus says, "Roll the stone away. We're going in." Everyone says, "No, it'll stink. It's bad." Jesus says, "Do it." And then he says these words, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out. His hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Therefore, Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Strips of linen around his hands and feet and a cloth around his face. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. Jesus had made a command, and maybe John had been one of the disciples who had done that. He sees the strips of linen. He sees the face cloth folded up neatly, the clothes of the grave put away, and he suddenly believes. Suddenly, all the dots are connected. The light bulb goes off in his head, and he realizes Jesus is alive. He saw and believed, and suddenly his whole faith system changed. He believed and remembered what Jesus had said as he walked with him those last 3 years. He realized that Jesus had risen. He suddenly, for that day, had strength, and he realized he had a hope for the future. But after this happened to John and Peter, what happened to Mary?
So we come back to Mary. Now, Mary is beside the tomb and she is crying, overwhelmed with grief. And it says she looks into the tomb. Maybe she's hoping to see the body. Maybe she thinks maybe the body is still in there. And so she looks in. And what does she see? Well, it says in verse 12, she saw two angels seated where Jesus's body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they speak to her. They say to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" You see, for these angels, crying isn't the right emotion. It'd be a bit like if you went to watch your team play football and you went with a friend, and in the first half, your team are doing really badly. They're losing 4-0. And your friend decides, "That's it, I'm off." But you stay. And you watch in the second half, your team play a blinder. They score goal after goal. And in the dying minutes, your team win. And you're overjoyed. And you leave the stadium and you meet with your friend who hasn't followed what's gone on in the second half and is still sad. And you say to them, "Why are you sad? It's not the right emotion given what's just happened. So too for the angels. They're saying to Mary, why are you crying? Well, Mary still says what she's said before, what she'd said to the disciples. They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him. Mary, it doesn't matter who she's speaking to, is focused on one thing, finding the body. It doesn't matter that the heralds of heaven are right in front of her. The only thing she can focus on is finding the body. And she turns, and it says she sees Jesus, the risen Jesus, but she doesn't know it's him. And he says to her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Well, the answer's obvious, isn't it? It's you, Jesus, it's you she's looking for. But she doesn't know it's him. She thinks he's the gardener. So she says the same kind of thing she's been saying all along. She says, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. Do you see, Mary is so wrapped up in her grief that even with the risen Lord Jesus in front of her, she doesn't see who he is. What's Jesus got to do to help Mary believe that he had risen? He's got to get her attention. And so he says to her, verse 16, Mary. And at that moment, she realizes who's in front of her. She realizes that the body she's been looking for is in front of her, but he's alive. That's the moment where she believes. You see, Jesus had to get her attention for her to believe. Now, we can be a little bit like Mary. You see, for some of us, it's not that we need more evidence for the resurrection. We've heard the evidence before. But sometimes what we need is Jesus to get our attention. Now, life has changed for all of us dramatically over the last few weeks. There are some things that we used to be able to do that we can't do anymore. You can't go to work necessarily, or maybe you can't go to school. You can't meet up with friends. You can't meet up with family. You can't just go to a cafe for a coffee. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to the cinema. All these things which we enjoyed gave us pleasure, gave us comfort, but also gave us security. And for many people, actually, they were things which meant we didn't really feel we needed God. And sometimes people are asking, where is God in all this? Could it be that God is trying to get our attention? C.S. Lewis has famously said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God is shouting to us. Will we pay attention? Mary needed Jesus to get her attention so she would believe he'd risen from the dead. Jesus is trying to get our attention so that we will come to him, realize that we need him, and come to him and put our trust in him. Mary and John are very different. And what we've seen so far is
John saw the empty tomb and believed.
And Mary needed Jesus to get her attention, and then she believed. But why is it important that we believe? Why does it matter whether we believe that Jesus rose from the dead or not? Well, to answer that question, let's have a look at what Jesus said to Mary in verse 17. It says, Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, I want you to notice in that verse how many family words are used there. So Jesus says he's going to return to the Father. In other words, he's not risen to stay here. He's risen and he's on his way up to ascend to be with his Father. And then he says to Mary, instead, go to my brothers. And Mary knew that he wasn't talking about his biological brothers, but the disciples. After all, that's who she went to then. And then Jesus says, I'm returning to my Father and your Father. Now, that's a big thing. Jesus is saying that his father is now the disciples' father. Now, John has already told us in the gospel that that's what Jesus came to do. In John chapter 1, verse 12, right at the beginning of the gospel, it says that Jesus came so that those who would believe in him would be given the right to become children of God. And now John is telling us through Jesus that Jesus is saying that's what's happened. You can now become a child of God. The disciples are children of God. And that's true for us too. If we believe in Jesus, we can become children of God. Now, the alternative is pretty frightening. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us what the alternative is. If we don't believe, the alternative is perishing. But Jesus is saying, I don't want that to happen to you. That's why he's so desperate to get our attention. That's why he'll use anything to get your attention so that you don't need to perish, but can have eternal life and can come into this relationship with God. So how do we need to respond? Well, we need to stop living for other things. And some of those things, like we've said, are things which God has actually taken away from us at the moment. But those things, even though they might be good things, like family or even work, they may be good things in themselves, but if they've become so important to us that they mean that we don't think we need God, and they've actually become the thing from which we get our comfort and our strength, then we need to put them on one side. And we need to say, I'm not going to live for them anymore. And I'm going to put Jesus in the center, put Jesus where they've been and live for him. And when we do that, we become children of God. You see, what we gain by putting our trust in Jesus is God himself. God is our Father. And that's far greater than anything that we've lost. It's far greater than a career, far greater than even family, is to become into God's family and to be able to call him Father. And so, have you, like John, seen the evidence for the resurrection? Have you, like Mary, had your attention grabbed by Jesus? Are you ready to respond? To believe in Jesus? Are you ready, like millions of people around the world, to put your trust in him and to say, I believe that Jesus has risen from the dead and I'm going to look to him for strength for today and to be my hope for tomorrow?